Good morning and welcome to the Open Door Baptist Church, the Tuesday morning men's prayer breakfast. This is July the 5th, isn't it? 2011, year of our Lord. Today's devotion is going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter, Paul's epistle to the people at Corinth. The name of today's devotion is "Awake to Righteousness and Sin Not." That's one of the reasons that's in this on down in this book of Corinthians here. But anyway, a little bit about Corinth. It's located on the Mediterranean Sea, and it became a wealthy trade center, and Paul established as a flourishing, prospering, thriving church here, and it was made up of a lot of worldly minded people, obviously, who had gathered in Corinth, you know, where you got a big city right on the Mediterranean Sea. You're bound to get all kind of different people coming in, and the city, of course, it become corrupt with all the gambling and prostitution and business adventures, so to speak, and all the amusements that go with a city like that. The population was made up of mostly Romans and Greeks and Jews. And it got so bad that it created moral conditions that was some of them was inferior even by the pagan standards. You know, it was pretty bad territory down there, so to speak. That's where the heathens, the ungodly, was outdoing themselves. As an example of that, you don't have to turn over, I'll just read you this. Here's a little bit about what's going on. It's chapter 5 here. It is reportedly common that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So you see they all kind of stuff, incest there right in front of their eyes. And you are puffed up, you're arrogant about it, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, this is Paul talking, by the way, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath done so, this deed, this incestuous deed and everything, all this other stuff, the fornication that's going with it. Verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, it's kind of ugly going on down there in this big city. So sounds like Paul's got his work cut out for him with his building of his church here. The text of this chapter, we're just going to do the first chapter today, Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? Through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace, in which we may now stand, and we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. There's always hope in God, isn't it? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. We know an apostle is a messenger. It's an advocate of Jesus Christ. through the will of God in Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ. And they're made holy, they're cleansed in Jesus Christ. Called to be saints, he was set apart from anybody else, remember, with all that is in every place, call upon the name of our Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Romans 3:22-23, this ought to sound familiar. This righteousness from God comes from through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. Verse 23, for all have sinned, haven't they? Come short of the glory of God. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace, verse 3, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1:7, to all in Rome, beloved of God and called to be saints, peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Talking about Jesus here. Jesus being the Word, right? Was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That in everything you are enriched by Him. We are helped by the Lord, aren't we? In all utterance, in all our speech, and in all our knowledge. It comes from God. 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, but by the same Spirit. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gifts, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, isn't it? For the one that saved, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. Then shall every man have the praise of God. That was Paul talking about. Judge not before it's time, said it? When he was telling the folks, said, don't judge me. He said, God will be the judge. He'll have the final say so in the end. Verse 8. Who shall also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 3. To the end he may establish you, your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body will be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, they give us something to look forward to, doesn't it? Verse 9, God is faithful. He's more faithful to us than we are to Him, aren't we? God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of His Son, our Christ, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're in partnership. We're partners with the Lord, aren't we, so to speak. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 10:13, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all ye are able, but will the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Always give us a way to escape. Isaiah 49:7, the second part there. kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. He chooses us. We don't choose him, do we? Verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak all the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Romans 12, be of the same mind one towards another, mind not high things, proud things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own deceits. Don't overestimate yourself, so they're saying there. Don't be so proud. Also Romans 15, now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded. Another definition of consolation is encouragement here. That goes right along with this. Now the God of patience and encouragement grants you to be like-minded one towards another. Excuse me. According to Jesus Christ. Verse 11. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are in the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you, there are quarrelings among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified? This Christ divided this house of Chloe up here that says, which are of the house of Chloe. There's some contention. My research indicates that this house of Chloe is a church house, and what he's saying is there may be some folks in there that's trying to say that the churches at Corinth are being divided. That's why he's talking here. In verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He's wanting to let them know it ain't about Paul, it's about Paul's God, isn't it? That's who he's preaching about. I thank God that I baptized none of you. He's getting where he can't even remember now, he's saying, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any of you should say that I had baptized in my own name, and I baptized also the house of Stephanos. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, to preach the God news. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Genesis 12:3. Oh, let me read this verse, 1 Corinthians 2:1. And now, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, this is Paul again, or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Genesis 12:3. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. Y'all remember from the Bible studies, this is God talking to Abraham, isn't it, or Abram. I'll bless them that bless them, curse them that curse thee. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. The Lord is telling Abraham, said, I'm your protector, and I'll take care of you. I'm on your side, I'll take care of you. Revelation 14. And I, this is John talking in Revelation, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, the good news of Jesus, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. And unto every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every people. 18. Okay, this is where the road meets the road here. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Them that perish being unsaved, right? But unto us which are saved is the power of God. you know, when you're talking to somebody, a lot of times when you're trying to tell them about Jesus and you ask them, are they saved? What's the first thing you say? Saved from what? What are you talking about? So you know they don't know. So this book that we love and cherish, it ain't nothing to them, to the unsaved, is it? But boy, it's the operating manual for us. And on in the next chapter, chapter 2, verse 5, it says, but you need to keep your priorities here, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yes, sir. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, so whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why He went to the cross, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man being an unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. As we say in this 21st century, they're spiritually challenged, isn't it? Spiritually challenged is what they say. They don't recognize it. Also in 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. By the way, God, don't want to forget that. It's the God of the man, not in the man, ain't it? Also, 1 Corinthians 15, by which ye are also saved, if you keep in memory what I preach to you, unless you have believed in vain. If you like to just let it go in one ear and not the other. 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Isaiah 29, for the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men will be hid. 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed, isn't it? Everything in here is God breathed, coming from God's mouth. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness. It's our instruction manual, isn't it? It teaches us. It points out all our mistakes. A lot of times before we make them, it corrects us, and it shows us how to live, doesn't it? It's the instruction manual for the Christian. Excuse me. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Isaiah 19, where are they? Where are the wise men? Let them tell thee now. Let them tell you now. Is what it is. That kind of thee, T-H-E-E. Let them tell thee now, and let them know what the Lord of hosts has purposed. 1 Corinthians 3, for the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God, isn't it? Oh boy, he's so much higher than we are. Yes, sir. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Don't even try to figure them out. Romans 1:21-22, because that when they know God, they glorified Him, not as God, neither were they thankful, but came vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Probably so. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Usually the way it happens, isn't it? Somebody thinks they know everything. 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. They want to see a miracle, isn't it? But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Daniel 2:20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. Verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Y'all remember this. God uses nobodies to do His work. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou may steal the enemy and avenger. Verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Strange how that works, isn't it? And base things of the world, the insignificant things is the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. God chooses the nobodies to do great things for Him, because He knows He's going to get all the praise for it. Romans 14, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. That's operating in faith, isn't it? 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. No man should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. The Lord is just enabling you with just a mouthpiece, and to the messengers, the advocates, the apostles, they just a mouthpiece for God, so to speak. So he that glorieth, let him glorieth means boasting and bragging, so to speak. Romans 3:27, where is boasting then? Is it excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. 2 Corinthians 5. We hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exerciseth loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight, says the Lord. This brings me joy. This pleases me. 2 Corinthians 10, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It's not about us. It's all about him. And he saved us from everlasting hell. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. I'm going to jump over a little bit. It's a kind of a list of the folks that's, according to Paul, is going to heaven. Chapter 6, verse 9 is where it begins. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Remember that chapter 5 where we was talking about the incest here. This is, without these folks change, these are the ones that ain't going to make it to heaven. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall enter the kingdom of God. But then it goes on to say, that was then and this is now. Goes on to say, and such were some of you. We were all like that one time, but you are now washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. That was then and this is now. So, with that, that's the folks that's not going to heaven, so got to be a list somewhere, the ones that is, isn't it? So, Psalms 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Holy hill being heaven, obviously. Now, here's the one that's going to heaven. He that walketh upright and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Of course, you got to get on the blood first and foremost, don't you? He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contempt. Contempt means despise. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doth these things shall never be moved. So, by the way, when we do get to heaven, I got one other little note here. That when we get there and go looking around and see who's there, we don't want to be surprised. So I got a little note here. Y'all might have heard this already. I'm going to tell it to you anyway. Title of it is Judge Not here. I was shocked, confused, and bewildered. Excuse me. I was shocked, confused, and bewildered as I entered heaven's door, not by the beauty of it all, nor the lights, nor its decor, but all the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp, the thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics, and the trash. There stood the kid. I can't read my own writing. There stood the kid from seventh grade who swiped my lunch money twice. Next to him was my old neighbor who never said anything nice. Herb, who I always thought was rotting away in hell, was sitting there pretty on cloud nine, looking incredibly well. Pardon me. Cloud nine. Looking incredibly well, then I nudged Jesus and said, "What's the deal? I would love to hear your take. How did all these sinners get up here? God, you must have made a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet, so somber? Give me a clue." "Hush, child," he said, "they're all in shock. No one thought they'd be seeing you."